Welcome to the Confident Live Marketing Podcast with Ian Anderson Gray.
Helping you level up your impact, authority, and profits through the power of confident live video.
Optimize your mindset and communication and increase your confidence in front of the camera.
Get confident with the tech and gear.
And get confident with the content and marketing.
Together, we can go live!
Hello and welcome to episode 216 of the Confident Live Marketing Podcast. My name is Ian Anderson Gray. I'm your host. And in this series, we are delving deep, going behind the scenes of my special guests' studio setups to help you with your confidence with the tech. Because you don't always have to make it complicated. You could make it super simple because it's all about the content, getting in front of the camera and sharing your expertise, your knowledge. Well, I'm very excited today because my special guest is, we actually only met a few weeks ago in Birmingham at a LinkedIn conference, and she is amazing. We hit it off really well. We just were talking about so many different things, so I was excited to bring her on. It is Nanna Sondrup, who is the Danish LinkedIn content queen, who practices, teaches, and preaches the Give First strategy. Welcome to the show, Nanna. How are you doing?
Thank you, Erin. I'm doing very, very well. We met at the Uplift Live, not just a LinkedIn conference, but Uplift Live, and that was amazing. So I'm doing great, and now I'm even greater because I'm in your company.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming onto the show. And you're right. When I was mentioning the conference, I had it in my head that it was called Uplift Live, but I had that like slight doubt in my head that I was going to get it wrong. So I'm glad you mentioned the actual name. And that was a great conference, wasn't it? Now, so you spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. So tell us a little bit more about this whole, I love that you're called the Danish LinkedIn content queen. Tell us a little bit more about what you do and this, the Give First strategy.
Okay. Yes. So obviously I use a lot of my time on LinkedIn. therefore the name was, I'm actually giving the title content queen, LinkedIn content queen, from some of my competitors, but more like colleagues, you know. And when I figured out they were talking about me like that, I had to embrace the name. I was like, okay, this feels scary, but I'm gonna embrace it. And the Give First strategy is something I just said randomly about 5-6 years ago when I started. I say, like, just give first, ask later. That was the idea. Instead of, can you buy from me? I have this product, pitch. I was like, okay, how about giving something to them first? And when you have given value, history, storytelling, something that they benefit, then you might ask, oh, can you use my product? So that was the whole idea. So basically content marketing. But it was just said so it made sense to me, and other people say like, oh, that sounds amazing. And as go for the LinkedIn content queen, that was the same with the Give First. Other people resonated with it, so I just embraced it. And now I've been an entrepreneur for about 6 years, just teaching mostly content on LinkedIn. But obviously, as any other tool, you can't just teach in one thing. Sometimes you go and catch on to a little bit of different things, like teaching Confident Live, and suddenly we talk a little bit about equipment, and suddenly we talk a little bit about personality and how you fit in, all of that kind of thing. So yeah. I'm kind of same in that area.
That's awesome. That's amazing. And there are so many different moving parts with all of this, isn't there? And I'm definitely behind you with the whole Give First strategy. I love that term because it is, I think you have to demonstrate, well, you have to build that trust, don't you? You know, people need to, before they buy from you, you have to show them your expertise, but also that you're not a serial killer. You are a nice person, that you know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? It's like such a random thing to say, but it is true.
I really loved it.
Yeah.
My kind of humor.
Oh dear. Well, so you've been doing this for 6 years as an entrepreneur. What's been your, you're going to come back onto the show to talk about your kind of confidence and communication journey, but when it comes to actually creating video content, if you're listening to the podcast, by the way, do pop over to iag.me/216, because you can see some of the images. You know, I think Nana has this amazing background. I've just commented when she came on, and I loved that. It's really visual. It looks great. It's actually simple, but really visual. I assume it's not always been like that for you. So when you first started off, what was it like? Could tell us maybe some of those early struggles and challenges that you had in getting in front of the camera. Were you always like raring to go with the whole camera thing?
No, I was very, very scared in the beginning, to be honest, like very, very scared of it. So it's a long journey. So I'll try to pinpoint some of the most important learnings. When I started doing any kind of video, it was actually as a job seeker. I didn't have much success applying for jobs. So I had to, you know, do something different. And at some point I was like, okay, I can do video application to show me and how do I talk? How do I sound? And I'm telling you, some of the first that I made, it is torture for me today to watch it. Because it's really not me. I don't shine. I don't, I don't wave my arms, which I do normally when I speak and everything. It was just very robotic, very static, very cold. Because I was scared saying something wrong. I was scared doing something stupid or whatever. So everything about the camera was intimidating, frightening, and it was not a great experience. And that showed on me like very, very much. However, I still did it. And I didn't do it once or twice. I kept on making these video applications. And that's how I started actually getting comfortable in front of a camera, just to practice it again and again, even though I sounded horrible. And I had the 50 takes, you know, on the camera roll, because I was never satisfied. It was never good. But I did get good at editing for the same reason.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It's like, yeah. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when you come back on the show, because I do want to dig deeper into that. You know, one of the things that we talked about a lot was perfectionism. We're both recovering perfectionists. And I think the live video journey was definitely helped me. I can resonate with the editing as well, but let's dig into the tech. Because I would love to know, like, let's focus maybe on your microphone. So what is your audio setup and why did you choose your microphone and your audio setup?
I started with something very simple. I think I just bought the first and the best mic that I could get for the least amount of money. And at the time I have changed a little bit, but not as much as I think other people have. I ended up with something, I can't even remember it. Saramonic Blink 500. I'm reading out loud as I'm saying that, because there is the stand as you have where it's in front of the camera or it's something that just stays the same place. However, I figured out that doesn't really work for me, because whenever I do lives, I tend to move around a lot. I make big arm movements and sometimes moving around in the studio, which doesn't make sense for most people, but it makes sense for me. And for the sound not to go up and down all the time, I have something attached to me, because that makes sense to me. I don't say that everybody should do that, because the sound is actually better when it comes closer to the mouth. However, it really works out for me, because I become more natural. My voice does get influenced by how my body can move doing me doing lives. So that's really the best thing for me to be my authentic self when I do lives.
That's really interesting. I hadn't really thought about that, because, you know, for me, like audio quality is so important. So like I focused on a dynamic microphone, but it's in shot. That's not everyone's cup of tea. But you were saying that, and like a mic, you weren't quite saying it like this, but you could say like a microphone like this that I have would get in the way of your arm movements, and that would then stop you from being natural and being able to speak the way you want to. You know, and everyone's different. Yes. That's cool. And I think that's
to hit it, and not on purpose.
Yeah, like that. which and that's good. That's good that you've worked that out, because that you can. you it's so important to be natural. And so you've chosen there's different ways of doing this. You could get like you can get a what they call shotgun microphones is one thing, but you've gone for a lapel mic, haven't you? Attaches onto you. And that looks great. It looks great. So that I think you've written it down as the Saramonic Blink 500. Is that right? Does that sound about right? Okay, that's cool. I love that. And then does that plug directly into your computer? How does that work?
No, it's just a Bluetooth, actually. Again, so I have movement, because whenever there is something that's attached to me, I tend to, you know, knock it away. And really not on purpose. I sometimes have put, like, you know, my microphone in front of me if I had done podcast, and then try to sit down and try to be more quietly with my body. But I tend to always hit it, because I do a big arm movement at some point, and it gives some funny moments, but if I might knock it down on the floor, you know, it's not that
no you it's probably funny the first time, but you don't want to do that all the time.
This really works with me. No wires, no something in front of me. That really works for me to be more authentic and feel more. Like when you do live, you don't normally have a response from people other than comments. So at least I can have a response from myself by having the ability to communicate with my body movement. I think this is a very personal thing, but that's just how I feel. So for me to have the freedom to move around, to move my arms, to go back and forth, that really, really helps for me to feel more natural whenever I do lives.
Yeah. Oh, that's really helpful stuff. So, yeah, just because people like me talk about having a nice fancy dynamic microphone in front of you,
it looks nice.
It does look nice, but it's not for everybody, and that is absolutely totally cool. So, microphones, we've talked about that. You don't plug that in. It's Bluetooth. It's wireless, which is another cool thing. And that's particularly good if you're like a fitness instructor. I know somebody who was doing Pilates. Yeah. Or you could be doing yoga, and obviously you need something that is flexible. Cameras. Now, your image, we've talked about your background, but your camera looks really good. The picture is really, really sharp. I'm interested to know what your choice of camera is, and any thoughts on that?
Yes, the thoughts was, what's on sale?
Yeah.
Sorry, this is as Danish as it can be, actually. But I didn't want something huge at the time. Again, some kind of budget also came into mind. I wanted something that both could work for like Zoom calls or whatever, that wasn't big and that I could bring with me. So it's just a very, very small Logitech camera that I can just place on top on my screen or whatever. And it just, it works. It works really well. It's nothing fancy. It's not expensive on anything, but it's great at working with me. If I jump around too much, it sometimes loses focus and I have to help it a little bit. So that's maybe the biggest critique, but I think I'll have that with whatever I pick, because that is, again, who I am. I am not the best at what should you choose for geeking out and the right sound and the right quality of video and such, because I'm very, as you mentioned, I am very much a perfectionist. And when I started, I wanted the right equipment. I wanted to read. I wanted to learn. I wanted to invest. But every time I did that, I just caught myself being like, oh, and then you have a new excuse to not do something. And now you have an excuse saying, oh, I have to learn this to perfection before I can start. So for me, getting more and better equipment sometimes becomes my self-excuse to, you know, not do something, because I need to be really good before I can do it, because it has to be perfect, you know. So for me, being very accountable to myself, being like, okay, it has to be simple. It has to be on a budget, because then sometimes it's also very simple. Then I easily just get started. Then I don't have something to hold me back that I have to learn. Again, not saying that you shouldn't do it at some point or if it makes sense, that's not the point. It's just for me, I was very self-aware that is something I sometimes use holding myself back because of my perfectionism. So it really worked for me to have something simple, and that's what it is.
That is so, so true. And I'm very, very impressed with your level of self-awareness, because I've been down that route too. And I have to admit, I have given in to buying the tech thinking that's going to solve all my problems, and you haven't. And this is really interesting. I assume this is you've written down here, this is the Logitech C922. Is that right?
Yes.
The ProStream webcam. And some people I've heard are quite down on the Logitech range, and say, they say their budget, and you need to upgrade to the fancy cameras. And the thing is, you so don't. If you're listening to the podcast, again, pop onto look at the video and look at the crisp quality that Nana has. It might not be up to the mega top professional quality, but I think it's really good. And so don't knock the Logitech range. And particularly if you're getting started, they're a great range. They're inexpensive. And also they're not complicated. The setup that I've got, a Sony camera, and it's not for the faint hearted. You've got all the settings, and then you have to plug it into a capture card and then into your computer. The quality's good, but if you want to just get content created, go for something like the Logitech. I think that's great.
Yeah,
definitely.
And you have probably my dream, but I just know with myself I will have to learn all of that, because it's fun, isn't it? I mean, to really go down and what can I do and how do I make the best of it? It's really fun to just geek out with equipment. So for me, again, I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible, but I do have some. The first thing is the non-tech thing is that I am close to a window. I have always used that because I think it gives a lot of good lighting, but also it actually helps me to stay more focused and work better. So I'm always close to windows. But the tech part, I use a ring lighting. Some people like it, some people don't. And one of the things that is critical for ring lighting is, for instance, if you have glasses, which I actually do whenever I in front of a screen. Right now I don't, but I can put them on right now, then you can see it slightly. And I know this is a podcast, but I'm going to describe it. So whenever I put my glasses on, it's only when I look very much up, you can see my ring lighting. And that's because instead of putting it right in front of me, as you normally would with a ring light, I put it a little bit to the side and a little bit taller than normally I would. And I know then a bit of the idea of a ring light goes away, but that's because I wanted to experiment what is the best for me. So of course I could put it right behind my camera, then I can't use glasses because then I get that ring effect in the glasses, and I agree, it's not super nice. So I moved it a little bit to the side, and then it ended up being there because then I didn't have to think about if I had glasses on or not.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think, that is one of the big problems with ring lights. If you use them as they are intended to, then you're going to get that reflection. And even if you don't wear glasses, you get these kind of big, almost like alien effects in your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But if you have it to one side like that, it looks great. So, and... Yeah, if you're recording during the day, and you live in a country where you do have some light, then that's good. You can do that. So lighting. Let's go to your computer, because obviously that is kind of the brains of the system. So what kind of computer have you got? And maybe kind of go into some of the tools that you use for your content creation.
So I didn't nerd that much in about how to pick my computer, because I am actually old in gaming and did a lot of gaming. So some of my preferences quickly goes to, it has to be, adapting to that. And that's just an old habit, I think. I don't think my computer choice had much to do, if any, with live streaming and so on. It was just can it also do gaming? And this is not a great answer, but it's a very honest one. However, some of the tools like software that I use on it, it can take all of them, which is necessary. So there's, of course, the online software like StreamYard that I use. I'm very happy with. That's what I use for live stream. Therefore, also LinkedIn. But I also use some editing tools, which is called Vegas Movie Editor, I think it's called. It's not a new and high-tech one. Then I use Photoshop to edit my thumbnails for my live stream. Sometimes if I'm a little bit lazy, I might use PowerPoints because it can do a lot of great stuff too. I'm not a Canva girl, but I am big applying for the Canva system. I think that's about it. It's not super nerd and geeked out as I want it to be. But again, this is me being very self-aware of what I'm, where I go down in a rabbit hole and disappear for weeks and not actually achieving something.
No, that's really important. And I think that I really appreciate your honest answer, you know, because it's, your computers are not just for one thing, that you want it to work for lots of different things. I assume, is it a PC or is it a Mac? I assume it's a PC.
It's
if you're
PC. 100%.
Yeah, because obviously, like Macs, I mean, you can do gaming on Macs, but it's not really the same experience. Exactly.
Don't say that.
It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So that's cool. I was hoping we were going to get a PC user on the show because all my previous guests have been Mac users. So we've got a PC user. That's great. And that's the great thing with...
One with the least tech experience of them all. Something with PC. That's a bad reputation.
No, not at all. And I was a PC user for many, many years. And I still like PCs. My son is... he is a gamer. And so we actually built his PC together.
He's the smart one. Okay.
Yeah. So that's great. Thank you for sharing all of those things. And again, I think it is about keeping it simple, isn't it? So just before we get onto the quick fire round, just a brief thing about your personalization of your space. So we can see a really nice background. Maybe explain a little bit more about your studio office space. How have you made it uniquely yours to foster not just your personal style, but also creativity and productivity? Because presumably this is the space that you create all your content or a lot of your content.
Yes, that is true. A little backstory. 3 years ago, we bought our house. And before that, the studio that I have was just like whatever was possible, you know. So when we moved here, I had a vision like, I want this to be something very personal for me. Of course, it has to look at least nice, not necessarily amazing, but at least nice. And I am into this comfy looking background. In Danish, we say hygge. I think it's very international known that that's something we say. Mm. And I actually, everything I have in my background is something I chose because there is some kind of story or there is some kind of relation to it. For instance, the furniture that I have was something I saw in the Danish version of the Lion's Den or Dragon's Den?
Dragon's Den, yeah.
From a guy who built them from old used stuff. And he was dyslexic and had an amazing backstory. And I was very inspired by it because I'm dyslexic as well. So I was like, I need those furniture to be as a part of my background. Also because it's reusable and there is both a good story and a good message about them. Then I had like then put in all of these different things. I had to, you know, I didn't want it to just be like perfectly balanced, because if perfectly balanced, where like one plant in one side, one plant in the other side, it actually doesn't seem balanced in our mind. So I had to be choose something where it was different from each side, but still have some kind of balance. And then I put in a lot of stuff that just meant something to me, starting with the classic, all of my books. Because whenever I look at other people's books, I get an idea of what is in your mind, what is in your beliefs. And I wanted to give that to whoever wanted to listen to me. Of course, you can't always see it up close, But I know for me, at least, I can recognize some of my favorite books, even in pixelated, very hard to read kind of version. And then I put in just small things that was nice looking, but still told a little bit about me. For instance, I love plans. I love to schedule with sketches, note with sketches. Whenever I listen to other people speak, I draw stuff as notes instead of just writing. I put in here, you can't see it in the podcast, but I can show it anyway. So I have the Elderworn in my background just to address my nerd version. I have Magic the Gathering cards in the background. I have all of these small little things to tell a little bit about who I am to the person watching it, even though I don't address it. Also because it actually makes me more comfortable, it makes me feel more safe because I have so much, you know, basically supporting me in the back. So that's, and then I have actually designed my studio, that's a nice practical thing, so that it works even though if I'm standing up, which I mostly do whenever I have lives, but also works when I'm sitting down. It looks a little bit different, but I made sure that the camera where it looks still works whenever it's up high or down low, so that there's different things to look at, but it still is balanced and it works out nicely. I don't know if that's something everybody else can use, but at least that's what worked out for me, to put a little bit of myself in all of it.
I think that's really cool, because it's not just an aesthetics thing. It's not just about like how it looks to people watching. I mean, it's a lot of that, and it's that personality. But it's also like you mentioned, like what makes you feel comfortable and safe, and presumably that also helps you to be more creative. And I also love what you said about, you know, you've got a standing desk as well, so you it's adjustable, and you can change that. And you've thought about how it looks at those different levels, whether you're sitting down or standing up. I mean, I'm a big advocate of standing up. I'm actually sitting down, which is I should be standing up really, but it's good to keep those energy levels going. So yeah, that's exactly. Really, really interesting. Yeah, we need those energy levels going.
Exactly, and especially if you're doing a live by yourself, it really, really helps. I mean, I actually use it to, if I know I have to tone down my energy, I sit down. So if I had done podcast where I know it's very person vulnerable, kind of, you know, in depth, much more honest, not that this is not honest, but you know what I mean, then I actually sit down because it calms me. But yes, whenever I do lives, I have to have my best and highest kind of energy, which is also who I am. I am both those kind of energies, but it helps me get that high level energy because I know the screen takes out some of the energy that you can send out to the audience. So for me to have the highest amount of energy that I create for myself, it's helpful whenever I do lives. So that's a way for me to control my energy level. Standing up, high level energy, outgoing, which very suits me the most of the time. Sitting down is very calming, very comfy, very vulnerable kind of talks. That also works, and I talk slower.
we are actually very alike when it comes to this. But for my other podcast, we've got this is the Smart ADHD podcast. We've got quite a long, very kind of quite vulnerable in a way kind of podcast. Ooh. And so yes, we're sitting down. It's a lot more kind of relaxed, and the energy levels is much lower down, and that works really well. But for these are kind of shorter, kind of more energetic, I suppose. And so the standing up thing, I should be standing up. So you've reminded me about that. Right. Well, we are out of time. I mean, I could talk to you for ages, but we do need to get on to the quick fire round. So are you ready for this? We've got some questions.
Yes.
So let's get the tech working, and here we go. So first question is acoustic panels, aesthetic choice or acoustic essential?
Aesthetic, I think I'll say.
Okay, aesthetic.
It depends. Oh, sorry.
Okay, we need to get quick. Okay, green screen or natural background?
Natural.
Definitely. Ring lights, good or bad?
Good.
Good. Webcam or fancy camera?
Webcam. Keep it going.
What's best, going solo or with guests?
Oh, with guests. That you love.
That you love, yeah. Headphones. Wearing headphones, yay or nay?
Nay.
Okay. There's no right or wrong. Teleprompter, yes or no?
No.
Okay, coffee or tea while recording?
None.
Background music, mood setter or distraction?
Distraction.
Mac or PC?
PC.
And finally, microphone in or out of shot?
Both.
Oh, there we go. That's okay. You could do that. You did really well. That was 11. You got 11. I don't know. I'll have to check, but I think you might be in the lead with this. So
yes.
You were very, very decisive.
I got a little bit caught up in the beginning. I was like, okay, what are we doing? Quick. No, not these long answers. Come.
No, I know. And some of them are kind of like, it depends. You know, you want to say, well, it depends on this, but no, we want quick. Thank you so much, Sana, for...
Yeah. Which level?
Thanks so much for coming on to...
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm excited to have you back on the show. So thank you so much for coming on. How can people find out more about you? You have, I'm assuming, scattered yourself across the socials on the interwebs. So where's the best place for people to find out about you?
Obviously, LinkedIn. benefit of being LinkedIn content queen, it is in that is my game. I do write in Danish, though. However, other people said that the translation button works perfectly. I can't say for myself if that's true or not, but it's other people's recommendation. And no matter what language you speak, you are welcome to follow and connect with me.
Yeah, these translate options are fabulous. And it's only getting better with AI. But do follow Nana, because she's great. She's awesome, as you have already found out. With this podcast. Thank you so much. Well, I'm looking forward to having you back on the show in the next season. Thank you so much. Awesome.
Thank you, Ian.
So that is the end of this episode. Thank you so much for plugging us into your ears or watching or reading, in fact, because this is also a blog post that you can find out more at iag.me/216. I think I've got that right. Always get confused with these numbers. But until next time, I encourage you to level up your impact, authority, and profits through the power of Confident Live Video. See you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Confident Live Marketing Podcast with Ian Anderson Gray.
Make sure you subscribe at iag.me/podcast so you can continue to level up your impact, authority, and profits through the power of live video.
And until next time,
toodaloo.